What's up and welcome back to another Kind of Funny screencast, one of the OG editions where we're just talking about all the things that we watched, not any one specific thing, more just kind of catching up on the last season of TV and movies that we have been watching that aren't the big things, that aren't the Marvel or the DC or the Star Wars or what have you. We're about to get into a whole beautiful run of those very, very soon because in the beginning of September and even debatably mid-August, if you're counting She-Hulk and all that, we got a run where there's going to be some weeks we're doing like upwards of 4 episode by episode reviews, hopefully, if everything goes right. Who the hell knows how things are going to go in this world, but the plan is for us to be covering Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power, Game of Thrones, House of Dragons, She-Hulk, and Star Wars Andor, hopefully week to week to week, with crews that are excited to be watching those shows. So of course, stay tuned. YouTube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, podcast service around the globe. Search for Kind of Funny screencast. We'll be right there for you. Isn't that right, big dog Kevin Coelho?
Hell yeah, it is.
And Joey Noel.
I'm very excited about some of those shows.
Yeah, I think Joey might be making appearances on the She-Hulk screencast, if I remember correctly.
Oh,
so yeah, I'm really, excited really that. Excited about that as well. But if you are excited and you want to watch these shows, all of these shows, ad-free and live as we record them, you're going to want to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers, Fargo Brady and Molecule, have done. Today, we're brought to you by Chime and MeUndies, but I'll tell you all about that later. We have so many movies to talk about, so many shows to talk about. I want to start off with a movie that I was really excited for based on the trailer. This has been a banger year for movies, big and small. I would say the smaller the better in some cases, were the bigger surprises, at least for me. One of the trailers I saw, and I was like, this has the potential to be a damn fun movie, was Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Unfortunately, I didn't get to go to the screener, but you guys both did. I can't wait to hear about it. Kevin, what did you think of Bodies, 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 and what score would you give it on the Kind of Funny scale?
I thought it was a lot of fun, and like the entire time, I was thoroughly entertained. I think that there's like, I want to watch it with one of these Gen Z kids you hear about and just be like, you know, what is it? How does this make you feel? Is this offending you? Or are you enjoying this? Does this seem like a normal day for you with a little bit of hijinks and maybe some murder thrown in? But I think overall I'd probably give it a 4 out of 5.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's higher than I expected based on that opening there. Joey, can you give us the pitch on what is Bodies, Bodies, Bodies?
Yes. So this is an A24 movie, which I know for me means I'm probably going to like it. So it's this group of friends that are kind of, there's some like, I haven't seen you in a while kind of vibes going on there. They end up at this house to have some sort of weather related party. I don't remember what kind of weather.
What?
Like there's like some sort of
hurricane.
Like, yeah, there we go. Like a hurricane party where like people all like get together and then the power goes out and you all drink and you party and have fun together. So it's that, but then it very quickly becomes this like murder mystery. What's going on? What's happening? And the title's based on this game called Bodies, 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 which we always called Murder in the Dark, where you shut off all the lights, somebody's the murderer, and they go around and like do the action of slitting someone's throat when you walk by them. And then if you find a body, you yell bodies, bodies, bodies. But then in this one, turns out someone's actually dead instead of fake dead. So it's really fun. It has a 10 out of 10 cast. Rachel Sennott, I think is how you say her name. She's in a movie that's been on my watch list forever called Shiva Baby. That's on HBO right now. Amanda Stenberg, the girl from the second Borat movie, Pete Davidson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Soon to be featured in Guardians 3.
Oh yeah. Right. The love of my life, Lee Pace. It's just like it's a really fun cast of people. I think it's a fun premise. I think it plays really well with murder mystery and satire and like wokeness and like all of this kind of stuff. I think it's a fun thing. I would also give it a 4 out of 5.
Very fun. That's
if
awesome.
If you listen to TikTok at all, you're going to really like the soundtrack for it.
Yeah. Damn. So I'm actually a bit surprised that you guys, I thought that this was going to be maybe one of you gives it a 4, but like the others arguing for a 2 or 3. So, okay.
I think it's fun. This was also like a fun movie going experience for us. I feel like they had like a cocktail 100%. Party before. There was a lot of glow sticks and we just had like a really nice evening and that was like supported by an also very fun movie.
Awesome. It was always also at the Kabuki, and did we get a bunch of crepes beforehand?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, did. For everybody that doesn't know, which I imagine is a lot of you out there, the Kabuki is a theater in San Francisco that is part of Japantown's main complex, which means it is surrounded by fantastic food, including many fantastic crepe options, both of the savory and sweet variety. Moving on to a different movie that I know nothing about.
Wait, real quick.
Okay.
Sorry, before we go there, I was going to say, according to IMDb, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies only has 8 people on the cast.
That checks out. Cool. Yeah, which is kind of wild.
I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Got it. Damn. So that's accurate. Interesting.
Yeah. Very and it's, yeah, one location too, for the most part.
Yeah.
I think for the entire thing.
Moving on to Vengeance. Who want Kev? Give me the pitch on Vengeance.
All right, so Vengeance is this writer who writes these kind of like he's this kind of a douchey guy that is just living in New York, hooking up with as many people as he can, hangs out with his friends, talks shit about these people, gets a
phone
call.
And by his friends, it's like John Mayer. By the way.
Oh, got it. Okay.
It gets a phone call in the middle of the night. This guy is crying and he's like, I have the worst news in the world to tell you. I'm so sorry. Your girlfriend's dead. And he tries to explain to the guy that, like, very sensitively, like, I don't have a girlfriend. And the guy's like, no, man, your girlfriend's dead. I know. Like, there's confusion ensues. He gets bullied into going to the funeral. And the funeral is like deep in Texas, like deep, like 8 hours from nothing, kind of deep in Texas. So he gets there, tries to get out of the funeral and like out as quick as possible. But the girl's brother convinces him that she has been murdered. She didn't die from an overdose. So the guy decides he's going to write, or I think it's a podcast, actually. Mm-hmm. He's going to do a podcast about, like, the delusions of, like, small-town America and how it's easy to, like, create a conspiracy theory instead of just accepting reality. And then it's just a deep dive in him investigating, creating this podcast. And I absolutely love it. I give this movie a solid 5 out of 5.
Oh, damn. And okay, so Joey, what would you give it, and who's involved in this project?
So I would probably give it a 4 out of 5, but it's like a high 4. I really enjoyed this. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies felt definitely targeted to Gen Z. Vengeance feels way more targeted to millennials, of like 100%. In terms of like what we talk about when we talk about like political correctness and wokeness and like podcasts as like we have grown up with them and stuff like that, and what that means when we're interacting with people of like different generations and stuff like that. BJ Novak plays the main guy. He's really great. Dove Cameron, who's a Disney Channel girl, she plays a sister. Jay Smith Cameron, I think is her name, from Succession, plays the mom. Ashton Kutcher plays like one of the side characters. Boyd Holbrook plays the brother, who I don't know from anything, but he was fantastic. I very much liked him. He's from Logan.
Oh, yeah. He was the bad guy in Logan.
Yeah. I thought he was also great. And then Annalee Tipton, who is like one of the girls in Crazy Stupid Love, plays like the girl that gets murdered. So she like pops up kind of anecdotally. But it's really, really fun. I feel like I was on between watching Bodies, 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 this and which we'll talk about later, the rehearsal. I feel like I was on this like big like meta commentary kick that was defining like a week of my life. It's really, really good. It's if you have watched the trailer at all, if you can watch like the first one that came out, because I think the second one is kind of spoilery, and you think you're going to like it based on that, I feel like you know if this movie is for you or not. If you like BJ Novak stuff, if you like that other show that we talked about, probably one of the last times we did one of these episodes, the show that he did on Hulu, that's kind of like Black Mirror-ish, I feel like you're also going to like this. It's really fun.
I hope we get a season two of that show. That was so good.
And that's saying something, because Kevin and I were in the front row and watched the movie like this, and we still had a great time.
Damn. Okay. Again, great year for movies. I do want to transition from movies to shows real quick, just because of the topic of the last movie. Do you have more to say about Vengeance, Kev?
I really enjoyed it. I think that if you like the trailer, the movie is cranked up to like 11 to the trailer, where like literally every... Like, the comedy is just way funnier. Everything is way better in the movie. So go check it out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it gets
you. I'm excited. I'm both Buys and Vengeance. I think I might take G on a weekend, make a little fun trip out of it. But talking about the podcast aspect of Vengeance, Only Murders in the Building is a show that's on season two right now on Hulu that I've been watching. I've been keeping up with it since it first came out. We're deep into season two now. I think we have like three episodes left, maybe two episodes left. I know Joey has watched season one. For those that don't know, it's a show on Hulu starring Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. They all live in this really fancy apartment building in New York, and a murder happens, and they are all interested in true crime podcasts, like a lot of people are these days, and they decide to start their own true crime podcast, trying to figure out who the murderer was, the person in their building, and then, you know, hijinks ensue, and every week kind of like it's just like this mystery that keeps getting crazier and crazier. Season two takes it just like to the next level, where it's like, cool, the world has been built, now let's go crazy. It kind of turns it all on its head, and another murder happens in the building, and they are being blamed. So opposing podcasts are being created to investigate them, Tina Fey kind of like leads up like this giant podcast network, like representing the man to take them down. And I really gotta say, it might be the best 3 out of 5 show I have ever seen, from beginning to end, where it is just such a consistently enjoyable time. Like, it's never bad. It's never quite that amazing, with rare exception, actually. I feel like season one had one really, really, really standout episode. And season two so far has had little elements, but without one like extremely strong one that kind of breaks the format of the rest of them. But I love the cast together. Like, they're so much fun. I mean, Steve Martin and Martin Short have been doing it for decades at this point, and their characters they play are just the right amount of ridiculous. The situations they get put in, and the surrounding cast is just so much fun. And my favorite thing about it is it's this really intense mystery show that I'm sure you could watch and like look at all the different kind of hints and read into it and come up with like your assumptions of what's going on. And I tend to be that type of person for these shows, like with the After Party we watched earlier this year and things like that. There's something about this show that I just turn my brain off and I'm just like, just let them give me the next twist and kind of just enjoy it as it happens. And there's so much happening that by the time the next week comes around, I don't remember where we left off. I don't know exactly what's going on, but they do a really good job of just being like, it doesn't fucking matter. Here's the new status quo. Here's what we're trying to figure out. Go. And it's just really, really damn entertaining. And it's honestly the type of show that I would recommend anybody watch, because it is a good time. And I think that even though I'd give it a 3 out of 5, I think that that is a 3 out of 5 for anybody. But I think your shit may vary, where you might like it more than that, because there is so much good in it. And I think that my favorite thing about it all is just the style of it. The colors are amazing. The soundtrack is going to get stuck in your head. The theme song is like rivaled, I would say, only by Severance's intro, in terms of just being like the most cool, impressive thing that I'll never skip. Every time I watch it, I'm like, we're watching the whole intro. But anyway, it's a damn good time. But Joe, what do you have to say about it?
I really liked it. Honestly, I was really impressed by Selena Gomez, because I feel like it could be really hard to be like the third person in a dynamic that's been established for like 40 plus years. And the way that she was just able to kind of like roll into the dynamic that they already had, I thought was really good. I eventually am going to get back to season two. I feel like I've kind of been more in a mood of like, once it's all over and out, then I'll go back and watch it, as I've done with like a couple things in the past few weeks. So I need to go back and give it another shot, because I really liked the first season. And then life gets caught up with you. You start watching Real Housewives, and then that just takes over your life for like weeks.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Ultimate Girls Trip season two. Real good. But yeah, Only Murders in the Building. I'd recommend it to people. And I think you're gonna have a good time with it. It's 20-minute episodes, and there's not that each season's only 10. So it's like it goes by really, really quickly. But it's a fun one. Staying on Hulu, going back to movies. A movie came out with my girl Zoe Deutsch called Not Okay. Kevin, have you seen this?
No, I haven't. I'm really bummed because I wanted to, and I was gonna bring it up to Paula, and on Monday we were driving somewhere and she was like, "Hey, have you heard of this movie? I just watched it and it was amazing." It's like, God damn it.
Joey Noel, what did you think of Not Okay?
Not Okay. This was another one in my like meta commentary thing where it's just like, I've watched a lot of movies and maybe I'm starting to question reality. It's Zoe Deutsch. Apparently it's like similar to the premise of Emily in Paris, which I've never watched, which is she works really for this. She works for this advertising company. She's kind of stuck, doesn't know what she wants to do in her life. She's trying to get this attention of Dylan O'Brien, who works in her office, who's like the quintessential kind of like
fuck boy.
Yeah, but like not a mean one, just like gives you enough attention to like breadcrumb you and then you're like, okay. And so she just makes up this lie that she's going to Paris for this like writer's retreat. So she photoshops all of her pictures and stuff like that, which is what she does for this company, even though she wants to be a writer. And then she posts like her last picture, goes to bed because the time difference, wakes up, and there's been a terrorist attack like 10 minutes after at the place she posted the picture, like 10 minutes after she posted it. So everybody thinks that she's been like part of this terrorist attack. She has to then fake that part of her life. But it's very, very interesting because they let her go down the rabbit hole of being a terrible person about it and like capitalizing on all of the clout from it and manipulating people. It's kind of similar to Dear Evan Hansen, if anybody's ever watched that, where it's like somebody gets caught up in a lie and they just have to keep going with it. But I think it's done a lot better because it shows some repercussions and stuff like that, obviously, at the end, whereas I feel like Dear Evan Hansen doesn't really do that. But it's super good. I think it's polarizing as a movie. I think a lot of people don't like it because Zoe Deutsch is such an unlikable character. But I think that's honestly like a testament to her acting and the writing that she's able to pull it off.
I mean, there's literally a trigger warning in the beginning of the movie that says, like, warning, this content warning, this movie has flashing lights and an unlikable female protagonist.
Yeah, it's really good. It is very self-aware of what it is. I don't necessarily know that it's good. I think I give it a 3 out of 5, and I understand why people would like it more and why people would like it less. But for me, I think it's like it hit on a good middle ground where it was like, this is a very funny thing. I think it's also interesting too because the movie the movie just came out, but you can also tell that it was filmed like a couple years ago, like 1 or 2 years ago, based on like the trends and stuff that are in it. And I feel like they almost doubled down on like that being commentary on like how fast things move, and like the culture kind of like shifts around things. I don't know. I think it's not only is it a fun movie to watch, it's a fun movie to talk about with other people. And that is like a separate category of movie that I very much enjoy.
I am so with you for so much of what you said. I do think though, I would give it a 2 out of 5 because I think that it is way more interesting than it is good. And I feel like it gets caught up in what it's actually trying to say. I feel like it is a little bit one note in terms of like, yep, she's bad and she's taking advantage of the situation. Mm-hmm. And like, there's repercussions, but I don't feel like they're clear in terms of the plot. I don't think that they're that clear in terms of the theme. And I feel like that it is one of the most uncomfortable movies I have ever seen in my life. Like, it is Uncut Gems level of like, oh, fuck, I hate this. Like, I hate this. I hate watching this. I hate being a part of this. And it hits close to home in a way that is like just the influencer culture and how all of it is and how every single thing you say can like change the world in a way. Like, it's just, it was very, very stressful. And I think that the reason that I'm lower on it score wise is that I there are elements of it that I think I found the most interesting that they didn't really go deep enough with. Like, I think that her loneliness as a character, like kind of giving reason to why she's acting the way that she is, I feel it was a really missed opportunity, because we see her in really low points and she's such an incredible actress, and there's hints and glimmers of seeing her kind of get into that when she's hanging out with her guinea pig and stuff. But like, I feel like they kind of play it a little too one note. They play it too much like a comedy. When I feel like really focusing more on the dramatic elements would have served the story and the quality of the movie more. Having said that, like, I do think that it is worth attempting to watch to see how it affects you, because like it is well crafted in terms of making you feel stuff. Like it's gonna like kind of get into your stomach, just turn that thing into knots, because like it gets into some really uncomfortable situations and you're like, oh man, are they really about to do this? Yes, they are. Anytime you ask that question, the answer is yes, they are. And it just keeps getting like worse and worse and worse as it goes on. I do want to give the biggest shout out in the world to me absolutely losing my shit within 3 minutes of this movie starting, as it's going around a montage of a bunch of just influencers talking about her and she's done. And it's fucking Mega 64
baby
getting multiple full-on bits in this movie as their characters from their game of the year that they do every year, that they're just the most horrible people in the world. And I'm just like, these motherfuckers made it, man. This is hilarious. But yeah, it's definitely it's a weird one. Kev, I'm interested in what you would think of it if you ended up watching it, because yeah,
I'm very excited to watch it. Yeah,
it's more interesting than it is good, but I don't think that that's a bad thing, because it's very interesting.
Yeah. Just talking about your point about leaning more into like the dramatic stuff instead of the comedy, I think if it didn't have as much of like a comedic base as it did, I think that it wouldn't feel as uncomfortable as it does. I think that's really where you kind of play with like a lot of the tension of being like, why isn't anybody taking this seriously, and why are you doing these decisions? I think that plays into it, but I also understand that like there's balance to that.
You're absolutely right. I just think that because of that, though, when they do have the more serious moments, and there's some moments in this that they let linger, like the basketball game that they do, that lasts like 5 minutes, and it is such a slow, like that would be a great scene in a dramatic movie that has that same pace the whole time.
Yeah.
But it kind of just feels like they had to pull the ripcord, because they're just like, oh man, like we're running out of time. We got to progress the story and have some more emotional heft to it all, which I just thought like kind of like made the movie not as good as it could have been. But man, it again, I never want to see this movie again. Like, it is one of those things where like you would have to pay me a lot of money to want it to watch this, because it was rough to get through, which hey, sometimes that's a good thing. So
yeah,
moving on from that, I want to talk about this little show on HBO called The Rehearsal. We've talked a lot about it and in little bits and pieces here on Kinda Funny Podcast. This is the follow-up to Nathan Fielder's Nathan For You. Andy Cortez is one of the biggest fans in the world of him as a person, all of his projects. He got me sold on it. I fell in love with Nathan For You and all of that over the pandemic. And now he has a show on HBO. Its budget is absolutely insane, and they are using every single penny possible. Joey Noel, I'm putting you on the spot right now. What is the pitch of Nathan Fielder's The Rehearsal?
Oh, if you would have asked me that after watching episode one, I could have had it for you. Four episodes in, who the fuck knows now? So I guess the baseline pitch is that Nathan is helping different people figure out how to have like confrontational conversations with people in their lives. And the way that he does this is by spying on them, essentially, to like, or I guess not always, by recreating the conversation with a bunch of actors in the place that they want to have it, by like building out sets and stuff like that. It's kind of wild. And then going through every different like permutation that the conversation could go down, so that they're like prepped and ready to like handle the conversation at whatever turn that it goes. So they have practice for it. On top of that, he also has his own storyline that's been developing. That's an offshoot of one of these like situations where now
he is now in his own rehearsal.
Exactly. And it's the layers in the rabbit hole of like how, like, I don't know how deep we're in now of rehearsals for his rehearsal for his rehearsal. It is the most like mind-boggling show I've watched in a long time, especially this last episode, I feel like. I've texted everybody as soon as I watched that last episode being like, who's watching this? Who can I talk to you about this? Because I have no idea what I just watched. And it is so uncomfortable and weird. And I don't know how to recommend this to people, but everybody needs to watch it.
Yeah, you could not say that better, Joe. So it is 6 episodes. We have 2 left.
Oh, we only have 2 left.
Only 2 left. The first episode is closer to an hour, and then everyone since has been closer to that 25-minute, 30-minute mark. And they use every single minute to add to this ingrained, just twisting, winding narrative of meta insanity. If they land this plane, this is going to go down as one of the all-time great pieces of art. Forget TV show, forget anything, forget Nathan For You. This show, what they are trying to do and what they are accomplishing and how I think they're going to land the plane. And I don't know how they're going to. I don't know what's going to happen in the final episode. But I do know that if they keep up this pace, which it seems like they're going to and they have so far, we are in for some wild, wild stuff. I am blown away by how this might be the hardest show to pitch to somebody. This might be the most impossible show to make a trailer out of that makes any sense. I remember seeing the trailer just being like, what the hell is this? Like, I'm only in because it's Nathan. So it's like, I trust it's going to be good.
Yeah.
The first episode plays more like a Nathan For You bit, one of the more elaborate ones, like one of the season finale ones. But then it just goes crazy. And it gets so meta where the show is really just about questioning authenticity and questioning reality and how easy it is to change reality by just coming up with lies to yourself that you eventually start believing in. And that's where like the actors come into play, and that's where like all of the fake elements come into play, where it is the most brilliant look in the mirror at reality television imaginable. Like he just thinks on another level that is creepy as fuck. Honestly, but the level of meticulous detail that he can break something down and then go build it back as a fake version of itself that is exactly what the original one was, but now slightly different, more how he wants it to be, is scary as hell. And the willingness for people to just go along with things when cameras are on them, the ease for people to manipulate others into doing what they want with positions of power is examined in this show in the most fucked up ways. There's a scene that I'm not going to give context for, but he looks over and there's a piece of fruit and it has a sticker on it, and then he takes it and he hides the sticker and they just linger on it for a second. Hit me so hard where I was like, God damn, how the hell did this one shot feel like it broke this entire show?
Yeah.
You know, it broke the fourth wall in a way that felt like, oh my God, like reality is crumbling for everybody here.
100%.
There is a power to this shit that I'm like, I am utterly blown away by this craft. And I don't understand how far it's going to go, because it's absolutely bananas.
Yeah. I feel like when watching Nathan For You, there's a lot of times where I'm like, how do they get these people to like sign off releases on like, and like actually participate in this? And like, there are some like really, really top level ones where I think that of like, obviously like the grandson or the grandpa at the gas station and his grandson's pee and like that whole bit in Nathan For You. And this show is people like that and things like that happening constantly. And it's just like, this is too much for my brain to handle. I was tweeted out about it where I was like, Nathan For You is like the TV version of eating an edible, but like way too much or more than you thought. And it's just like, I don't know if anything in this is real, and I don't know what reality is anymore, and I don't know how to process any of this. And it's truly brilliant. And also I saw a tweet that was like, I don't know if we should give Nathan Fielder all of the awards or put him in a prison, like the prison straight that up. Magneto cannot escape from.
Straight up, man.
Absolutely that.
Dude, it's freaking wild. Like, the things that he's done are just so insane. Like, in between Nathan For You and this, he did this thing where he, like, rigged the Emmys. And, like, he worked with a dude that is a voting scam official. Like, somebody that, like, that's their whole job. And he worked with them. And he was like, how easy would it be, or how hard would it be to rig the Emmys? And turns out it's really easy. And, like, they just break down. He's like, here's how I could do it. Here's the whole plan. And it's like, this motherfucker is dangerous, y'all.
But he actually rigged the Emmys? Or he just made a plan?
There was the plan where he could have, but he ended up not doing it. But he told everybody how it couldn't. The Emmys had to, like, change their shit. Because, like, he exposed, like, all these, like, things that just – that was on them. They should not have been doing it that way. But anyways, I love that in this – the level of what's real, what's not with the actors, who's not an actor. Like, there's the levels of actors. There's people
who acting comes as back?
Actors. Yeah, exactly. All of that. But then there's the real world side of it that gets fucking – even crazier and creepier, where some people are like, yeah, they are actors. And then there's all these, like, I don't know if you went down the rabbit hole, Joey, of seeing all the Twitter stuff, but
about the first boyfriend
that narrative is absolutely insane, where that dude is real. There's a best friend who lives in the apartment complex of that guy, and he's like, dude, he talks about numbers all the time.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, like, I saw him on Reddit, and they were talking about it. I'm like, that's wild as hell. And that guy has some problems. And then the Nathan Fielder School for Acting or whatever is a real school. It's real. It's on, like, people can go there. There's people taking pictures and, like, yo, on Google Maps, you can see this place. It's been here for, like, the last year. And you can go to their website and sign up. Like, it's freaking crazy, the things that are just, like, revealed over time.
Yeah, I can't wait to see where we end up at episode 6, because I feel like there are some long plays that we just aren't picking up on that are going to come through, and just, it's going to be great.
And the main woman that they cast, Nathan lucked out getting her. She might be just the greatest on-screen presence ever in terms of what this show could be and how uncomfortable things can get, how scary reality can be sometimes, where it's like, these people are out there with those beliefs, thinking that Halloween is satanic and that they sacrifice children.
Oh, yeah. And, like, for me, that's not even that many degrees away from, like, people that I know. Like, a girl that I went to college with wasn't allowed to eat, like, devil's food cake, like, pastries, because her mom thought that, like, they were evil. So, like, the degree of separation is not that far, and being reminded of that is always scary.
Yeah. And all, like, the thing with the show that is, I think, the most unnerving is that it is not like a ha-ha comedy. It's more just like, things are so absurd that it kind of makes you laugh but also be really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But they'll get you, like, you put your guard down of, like, not expecting to laugh at things and kind of more just, like, pay attention and be like, what the fuck is going on? And people in the world are just weird. But then they'll hit you with something that is just gut-wrenchingly funny. Like, the mirror, he's like, I had to make sure that I saw myself as old as the kids are. And then the fucking mirror changes how he looks with the Instagram filter. It's like, god damn, this is so brilliant, man.
And even just things that aren't supposed to be funny, but are, of, like, the people working on the show, like, swapping out the kids with, like, fake dummy kids and stuff like that. I'm just like, this is just the wildest thing I've ever watched.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and I especially love the editing of the show is just immaculate, because they are playing with, they're manipulating us in the same way that they're manipulating the entire situations. But I think it was episode 2 when it starts and we just see the baby get abducted. You're like, Nathan, you're going too far, man. You're going too fucking far. And then the way that it's kind of revealed of what is actually happening, it's like, god damn, this is just, it's so, so good. But yeah, we will talk about the rest of this somewhere. We're going to have to, because it is.
I know. I feel like insane. We have to do, like, a season finale breakdown with, like, Andy and Roger or something like that.
Yeah, because, man, it is quite special. Before we move on to talking about other stuff, let me tell you about our sponsors.
No one. And The Rock means no one. likes waiting on a paycheck. Especially, ladies and gentlemen, when you've got bills due. Good thing there's now Chime. Now you can get your paycheck up to 2 days early with direct deposit. That's up to 2 more days to save, pay bills, and generally just feel good about your money situation. Waiting for your money, never good. Getting your money in advance, great. Who wouldn't want that? Chime is more than about just getting paid early. It's also an award-winning mobile app, checking account, debit card, and optional savings account. So what are you waiting for? Hopefully not your paycheck. Get started with Chime today. Applying for a free account takes less than 2 minutes. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on the payer. Where'd the sunglasses go? Chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Have you heard about the legendary underwear brand that's taken the podcast world by storm? Famous for their buttery soft undies and bralettes, MeUndies loves podcasts just as much as you do. It's like they're made for you, and you're made for them. You're made for each other. Now, of course, ladies and gentlemen, you know I love my MeUndies because they're the most comfortable underwear I've ever had, and because they have great patterns. As the king of Halloween, my candy corn pair never fails to make me smile. Everyone knows MeUndies for their super soft undies and comfy bralettes, but did you know they also make other stuff? We're talking about durable, cushy socks that will make your feet sing. They even make hoodies for your dog so you can match every important person in your life. Available in sizes XS to 4XL and tons of colors and prints, MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. Any first-time purchasers can get 20% off plus free shipping and returns. To get 20% off your first order, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny.
Sticking with HBO, Joe, we've talked about this on Screencast before, but you've caught up on Hacks season 1 and season 2. What did you think?
What a gosh darn show, people.
Hell yeah.
It's like funny that it's taking me so long to watch it because I feel like I saw the trailer and I was like, Nick, you need to watch this. You're going to like this. I told my mom, I was like, you need to watch this. I feel like Andrew and I talked about it. Like, I was like, this is going to be a great show. And then totally fell off my radar and I don't know what happened, but I finally watched through it in the last couple of weeks. It's Gene Smart, man, is so good. I feel like this is such an interesting dynamic between her and the main girl, whose name I don't remember. Sorry. And just about being a woman in like a very male dominated space, the push and pull between like old school and new school. Everybody that pops up in this show, I think, is so interesting. So Kevin, have you watched this at all?
Yeah, I've watched both seasons. Love it.
Okay, and Tim, you have?
Yeah, 5 out of 5. Easily, I think, so my good. Favorite comedy show of the last.
I agree.
I don't even know how long.
I feel like I was on board for it, but then it's the episode where, is it her name, Ava?
Yeah.
Ava meets the guy in the hotel and they have like that one whirlwind night. And we get to the end of that episode and I'm like, holy fuck, this show is very intense, but very good. Season 2, shocked also at how good it is with like the adding in the touring and stuff like that. It's so good. Surprise Devin Sawa. I always like to see.
So good.
In a great role.
Even like the conversations that Ava has with her mom when she comes out on the road and like as they're trying to kind of fixing their relationship, all of the side characters are also very strong and very good. Like, this is a 10 out of 10 HBO show. Like, I know it's like an HBO Max show or whatever, and with everything that's happening, like, who knows what's on the chopping block, but I can't imagine that this is one of those shows. Like, I feel like this has got to be one of their, like, premier shows.
This is one of the award winners. So I feel like out of all the things they might want to hold on to this and transition this over to HBO original, but there's been no official announcement yet, which concerns me, but hopefully
we have season three confirmed here. At all or no?
I don't think so.
But, oh, it is. Okay.
Oh, it is. Okay, like good.
A couple months ago.
Good, good, good. Okay. That gives me hope because, man, the show is incredible and I definitely want more of it.
Yeah.
Moving on, Kev, getting you involved a little bit. You're watching Loot on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah. Man, I'm enjoying it so much. I think that we had Ron. It's a show where basically, Jeff Bezos' character is cheating on his wife, and they get a divorce, and it follows the wife who now has gotten half of his wealth, and is like has a lot of free time and kind of just starts randomly working at like the head of her charity. And it's just kind of them hanging out in their office, and she's teaching everyone how to relax and also just being a good person. The whole show is really, really wholesome. Ron came on, and who is one of the characters in the show, and he was, you know, like, hey, check it out. So I checked it out, and that first episode, I was like, oh, you know, this is really fun. And like every episode has been just as fun. It's funny. The characters are all great. Ron's character is phenomenal. Ron has something about him that's just so infectious that like anytime he's talking, I'm like, yeah, like I'm supporting this guy.
I'm rooting for this guy. Yeah.
And it's just, it's a lot of fun. It's really sweet. It gives me a lot of like Ted Lasso vibes, but mixed with a little bit of Park and Rec, like the office setup. I really enjoy it. It goes by really quick. Apple TV Plus has also kind of like shocked me how like how much I like so many of their things. And like when I like them, I really like them. Like, you know, Severance, like we all talked about. And Ted Lasso, some great shows. Oh, and the game one. I can't wait for that to get its next season.
After part? No. Oh, Mythic Quest?
Yes, Mythic Quest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. A really sweet show. Everyone in it is great.
And then Harley Quinn on HBO Max season 3 came out fairly recently. You haven't seen season 3 yet, though, right?
No. So me and Paula were going to sit down and watch season 3. And we're like, what's the last thing that happened? Like, we remembered what the big last thing was. But then we're like, how did we get there? And then we're like, why don't we just, you want to rewatch the whole show? So we just finished season 1 in our rewatch. And it's so good. We originally watched this for screencast where we were doing kind of like we watched like 4 episodes, and I did that and immediately just continued to watch the upcoming episodes, and then I watched season 2 and loved it. It's fun to go back to season 1 because like I forgot that Rahul's in it, and suddenly hearing his voice is like, oh, that's right, he's Scarecrow, that's so cool. Yeah, it's they go so far and so hard with everything they do in that show, where it's like you start watching it and immediately you're like, it is not a kid's show. This is not, it's, you know, very,
oh no,
very much like looks like the style of you know, like our childhood version of Batman, but like just goes so much further and is so intense. I can't wait to get to season 3, but I am having so much fun rewatching season 1 and 2 right now.
Joey, have you given this one a shot?
I watched like the first few episodes when we did that like preview thing on like screencast probably like 2 years ago at this point. But I remember thinking it was fine. Animated shows usually aren't my thing. So I liked it and then I just never went back.
Yeah, it's been my problem too. Is I love animated shit, but Gia doesn't. And so while she really liked it and liked the humor and characters and stuff, it's always a tough sell to be like, let's keep watching it. Remember how much you enjoyed it a couple nights ago? It's like, no. So yeah, we still haven't finished season 1, but like we're getting close.
This show, years though. Like this show goes so fucking hard. Like at the start of season 2, all of the Justice League gets captured and are just gone, and the villains literally take over Gotham. Like, and they go all out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's really good.
At some
good.
Point, I might just be like, sorry, G, I'm watching.
You should
this.
Definitely do that, because it is really, really fun. I'm very excited to see season 3 too.
Yeah. That's awesome. Final show I want to talk about is Blackbird on Apple TV Plus. Joey, what is this?
So it's a miniseries on Apple TV. It just finished 6 episodes. Easy watch. This is for all of my people who like Mindhunter and were really sad that it was canceled. Mm. This is like the dark, gritty American crime drama that has like a good balance of both sides of the process. So it's main guy, Taron Egerton, I think is how you say his name. He gets put into jail for like 10 years for this thing. He wasn't supposed to get put in for 10 years, but he's there. And then they are essentially are cutting a deal with him. Like, hey, we need you to talk to this one. We need to put you in a really, really bad prison compared to the one that you're in. And we need you to talk to this one inmate there. If you can get him to confess and tell you where he's like buried these bodies of all of these missing women, we'll let you go free. And then that other serial killer guy is played by Paul Walter Hauser, who is in I, Tonya. He plays Snakebite, Venom, something like that, in Stingray. Cobra Kai. He's like the guy that's way too old to be in Cobra Kai.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Stingray.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
He is so good and so creepy in this show. Like, it is a very different role than anything I've seen him in. I've really only seen him in I, Tonya and Cobra Kai. I haven't. Richard Jewell has been on my list to watch for a while, but I haven't watched it yet. It's very, very good. So it's a lot of the two of them. Greg Kinnear's in it as one of the like FBI or some sort of federal person. This is the last show with, I think, the last performance of Ray Liotta. He plays Taron Egerton's dad. Damn. I'm only three episodes in. So like, and so I still have like a bit to go, but it is very, very good. Thank you, Andrew Goldfarb, for the recommendation, because this is very much up my alley. It is dark, it's drama, it's gritty, very much in like the Mindhunter vein, if you're looking for something like that. I think that from the way that people have been talking about it, because now I'm far enough down the rabbit hole where I'm like the subreddit and looking at like the Twitter conversation about things, that I'm very excited to finish it, because people are talking about like that one scene in the finale episode and stuff like that. So I think that this is the best show that I feel like nobody's talking about.
Yeah, I haven't heard about it. So that's pretty cool.
I feel like a lot of Apple TV stuff ends up kind of like that, where it takes like a little while for it to get some traction. But I'm kind of with Kevin, where they put out like a lot of like quality stuff. And I feel like HBO is kind of my first go-to. And after that, I feel like it's Hulu and Apple that end up being tied.
Apple TV is the best kept secret of the streaming wars, man. $5 a month. Plus, if you have an Apple product, you probably have a trial that lasts half a year or whatever. And it is HBO quality stuff, if not better in some cases. Like, Apple TV is, I think, the dark horse of the whole thing right now. Real quick, I want to say that hold on. Chat's telling me that I don't like this. I don't like when Greg Miller's calling me and I look at the phone. He's slacking me some other shit. And I look at the chat and everyone's just saying, answer the phone, Tim. I hate that.
Can't Greg see that we're also recording in Discord?
Oh, I guess they're on Games Daily.
What? Tim, answer the phone. Answer the phone, Tim. It's over now.
It's a crossover. We never get crossover.
Let me call him.
Joey, the only thing about Apple TV is I just feel like that not enough.
Tim, Greg, you're on the Kind of Funny Games Daily. How are you?
Greg, it's Tim. You're on a Kind of Funny Screencast. How are you?
Good. Things have escalated quickly over here, and I'm calling you to tell you, as the host of the Gamescast, you need to plan a Gamescast where we decide which is better, Spider-Man, PS4/PS5/remaster, whatever you'll call it, versus a Batman game of Barrett's choosing. He will pick one of them to pair it against, and we will go from there. We have to decide which is better, okay?
Oh, I love it. That's fantastic. And oh, I feel so bad for Barrett.
No, Ryan, see, don't do that. You can't have the bias already. See, now Barrett doesn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah?
See, he's mad at you, and he's yelling about the Marvel bias and everything else.
Tim, hang up. We made a mistake.
Tell Nick Scarpino he sucks. I'll see you later.
I will.
Bye-bye.
Nick's not even here. God, he's so
Nick's not even here. I love it so much. There you go. Last thing I want to say is I talked about this on some other shows. I don't remember what, but Players on Paramount Plus by the team from American Vandal. It is a mockumentary series that is 10 episodes long. Each one is less than 30 minutes and is the story of this esports team. And it follows a League of Legends team as they try to win the championship. And it is so interesting because it is not that laugh out loud funny. Like, I don't think it's like it hits the highs of American Vandal, but I think it's such a quality show that just gets better the more you watch it. The first couple episodes, they almost feel a little too real. It almost just feels like a documentary about esports. But I think that's just a testament to how fucking weird esports is, you know, and these personalities. But I really enjoyed it as kind of a education process for myself of this world that is so tangential to ours, but distinctly different. So I learned a lot about like how esports teams function and just like that world. So that way I thought it was worth watching for a lot of our audience that I feel like are similar to me in that vein. But also it is just such a well-crafted show, and like it is such a perfect example of sometimes the least likable protagonists can make the best shows, because this the main character Cream Cheese is a piece of shit. He had to change his name to Cream Cheese once he grew up a little bit, because his old name was Nut Milk. God.
I love this.
Go watch it. Paramount Plus players. It's all out now. But any last minute shout outs?
I think that's everything I've been watching. I did watch The Summer I Turned Pretty on Amazon. If you're looking for another To All the Boys, but not quite as good, it's like a good thing to throw on in the background. It has a killer soundtrack. It's based on a book series written by the same person, Jenny Han, that wrote To All the Boys. So it's pretty fun.
There you go. All right. Well, this was fun. Old school, hanging out, talking about a whole bunch of different shit. Hopefully you guys got recommended something you didn't know about. Let us know in the comments below what you have been watching and what you think of all of the shows and movies we talked about today. Like I said, Screencast is about to pop the fuck off the next couple weeks. And honestly, it's what's funny is not only is it more shows than we normally do, it's also like the longer seasons. Like the Marvel shows and Star Wars shows have been like, you know, 6 episodes. These are like, nah, fuck it. Andor's 12, She-Hulk's 9, all these other things. I'm like, we'll see how we can handle this. We're gonna try our best. Please give us some patience. It's going to be very difficult to schedule it all. But you know what? We're going to try our damnedest. And also, in review, there's about to be so much fun stuff coming up, including less than a month from now, Cobra Kai Season 5. Baby, let's go.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you see the update, Kev?
No.
That our boy is back from 3? Barnes?
Oh, yeah?
He's back, baby. He's back.
No shocker. When are they going to confirm that? What's her
swank? Swank?
Yeah.
I hope more than anything, she just gets an epic intro where she just like comes to save the day and a freaking hawk swoops down, man. Give us the hawk. Everybody, give us the hawk. Until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.